The following podcast is intended for listeners over the age of 18. It contains mature subjects and adult discussion. Listener discretion is advised. As we are not doctors or psychologists, all advice is for novelty purposes only. All advice and discussion comes from our own personal experiences. Yours may well be different.
Welcome to the Swing Set. Climb on up. There's always a swing available. On Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we explore open relationships and swinging. The pleasures and passions, the promise and pitfalls. We discuss all aspects of swinging in a fun, open, and welcoming fashion with a gleam in our eye, a bounce in our step, our hand down your pants. Ooh, sorry, got ahead of myself. We may be biased. In fact, we most certainly are. But we don't sugarcoat, and each of us speaks honestly and earnestly about our thoughts, ideas, and experiences throughout our very own lives on the swing set. Thanks for swinging by.
Hello and welcome to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. Tonight we are continuing our conversation from last week about BDSM, and since I was deemed by the cast very dumb in the closing of the last show, I'm going to ride that on and tell you that you will enjoy tonight's show. I'm Cooper Beckett, and with me tonight is...
Hey everybody, it's Ginger.
This is Dylan, and I'm suddenly standing at attention, saluting.
All right. And we have the lovely Miss Amy returning with us from our last show to talk more about BDSM.
Welcome Who's back. Having a hard time controlling her laughter.
I know, I heard that. So was that commanding enough, do you think?
Oh, who are you trying to command?
I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there are at least, you know,
it worked for
tens
Dylan,
of subs in our audience. So, you know, there's got to be some people who will just go with it.
If Might you're turn... one of those people, call in and tell the show how much that worked for you and got you hot.
And if the number is great enough, I can throw a little of that in at the beginning of every podcast.
We've created a monster.
I think you're right.
So, Ms. Amy, one thing I did want to start with this week is to talk about being out as kinky. It's a subject that comes up on our show a lot because we are semi-closeted as swingers. You know, we are all to different degrees open with our friends, but not open with the general public. You have said last week that you now are Miss Amy, which is your real name. And you transitioned from having a pseudonym of your own. How hard is it to be, would you consider yourself full-time dom?
What do you mean by full-time? It's not, I don't take the pants off and on. I always wear the pants, if that's what you mean.
That is what I mean.
Okay, yes. And that's a joke that I have with my boy, but it's true. I am like all the time. This is me. It is not easy, and it's not something that I have an answer about. I think one of the reasons that people are so interested in it is because I don't think you'll ever find one answer that's going to work for everybody. Right. And everybody, I think, is so long as we have a society that considers things taboo and puts judgment on certain behaviors, there's always going to be the need to or the feeling like you need to conceal some part of you. I'm lucky, and I feel very, very blessed that my academic endeavors allow me to use my kinky side. Like, I can use it as an out, more or less. I have a background in studying sex and studying psychology. So I have an out. And in that sense, I get that I'm not like everybody else. And it would suck for me to have to hide it. And I did for a very, very, very long time. I'm also in the military, and it wasn't until I started sharing little bits and pieces with people in a positive way, not like in an ashamed, like, oh my God, I'm a kinky person, but until I started being authentic with people and just giving them little bits and seeing that people would come out of the woodwork to talk to me about things that I said, you know what, this isn't a weird thing. And granted, I mean, you get the bad feedback from some people. There are always going to be quote unquote haters. There are always going to be people that give you slack, but it wasn't until I realized how prevalent variations in our behaviors are. I mean, that's all they are is variations. So how could I be ashamed of this? And I realized when I was able to start living my life as me, that it felt so good that I said, this is my calling. This is what I'm supposed to do. I am meant to live authentically in order to show people how wonderful life can be when you do.
Well, that's fantastic. So awesome.
Yeah. Yay.
Welcome to the after school special.
a very kinky special episode.
And make no mistake about it. Sometimes you cannot be open about it. If I did not have my academic outs, I would most certainly have to be quite careful about the image that I portrayed publicly. I could lose my military career if I didn't have my out. And for a long time before I didn't, it was a big secret. And in certain jobs, I mean, there are risks associated with being out, whether it's with kink or I'm assuming in as a poly swinger, as anything out of the ordinary. I hate these generalizing words. They drive me crazy.
I just like making, you know, normal sound like a bad thing.
It is. No, it's not. I don't think that it's a bad thing. I hate the word normal. It implies that there is such a thing.
No, but see, we're turning it on their head. We're making the normal people feel bad for being normal.
No, no. See, well, 2 weeks ago.
They make us feel bad for not being normal.
Two podcasts ago, I used that term and you jumped all over me on that. Now that you're starting to use it and give people crap for it, it's...
Well, last time I used quotes around it.
Oh, I'm
you
sure.
You kept saying normal people, like we are abnormal. But we are abnormal. We're exceptional.
Ooh, I like exceptional.
Yeah.
And
actually, I embrace the idea that we are abnormal because if, you know, the normal is boring. We've been that. I've done that. It's not fun, and I'm glad I'm not normal. I think exceptional is the way to go. So if they want to be normal, yeah, more power to them because it's not as much fun as what I'm doing. Or what you're doing, I'd wager, Miss Amy.
Well... My partner, my boy, is he's relatively closeted. He's made a lot of progress over the past 7 months or so. He now can walk openly in public workshops in leather pants, and he's okay. He's not out to his friends. He knows that at some point he will need to be, because it doesn't work for me to be all secretive.
Mm-hmm.
But I respect his boundaries at this point and realize that it doesn't always happen overnight. It didn't happen overnight for me. Why the hell would I expect it to happen overnight for somebody else?
Right.
And, you know, some people don't need to be out. You know, I get on my high horse about living authentically. For some people, they don't need that. Some people are totally content living their normal daily life, you know, as the normal person, and then having their kinky outlet. If that works for them, great. It doesn't work for me, so I can't do it that way.
Well, and not only being content, I've talked to a few swingers who that's part of the appeal of being swingers,
yeah,
is being able to have these extraordinary weekends and then go back and have small talk at the office and just know that what they were doing over the weekend is so much better than that Tupperware party.
I got to admit, I've had a few moments like that where people are saying, oh, yeah, man, we went to the strip club over the weekend and it was awesome. I'm like, yeah. I'm glad you guys had a good time. Yep.
On the other hand, people like me, I'm a show off. So that's why my entire office knows. Yeah, I had an orgy this weekend. Can you top that? Didn't think so.
Oh, you.
I'm all about rubbing it in their faces.
But you're on to something with the appeal of it sometimes not being open. Just because I can say that I live openly doesn't mean that everybody in my life knows. I mean, my parents know, my family knows, but my daytime 9-to-5 boss, we don't have these conversations because I'd get thrown in HR in a hot second if I started talking about these things. Mm-hmm. However, there are lots of times where I'm in my office and doing that devious like chuckle, like, haha, they don't know. And it enables me to have these crazy fantasies and live out, you know, every time one of the guys in the office opens the door for me, that I can have this crazy fantasy about them being this uber submissive awesome slave in my mind, and I don't have to have that conversation, and it would probably ruin the fantasy if I did.
That is delicious. I so love that. Welcome to my inner world. I love it. Oh, that's so fun.
Tell me, Miss Amy, there are these pieces of media that tend to define a subculture for the general public. And for BDSM, the piece of media that seems to do that is the movie Secretary.
I don't even know if I've seen it.
Oh, then we'll have another discussion.
Yeah, I think it's on the list. I started in this intimacy group once where we started watching movies, different movies every week, and I think it was on the list, and I just never made it. Actually, I know that's the case, and I said, you need to watch that because how could you be in the lifestyle and not?
And right. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it seems to be the de facto go-to movie when you want to see a movie about BDSM.
I'm going to move it to the top of the to-do list when the other to-dos get done.
Gotcha.
That's very good.
And you'll have to give us a call and tell us your thoughts.
Okay. Yes. I'm trying to think of another movie that I have seen that works these aspects in.
Well, there's really nothing for swinging, so we got nothing.
What about...
Really? There's nothing?
Well, there's Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, but that's not really about swinging, and they don't really swing until the end.
Right.
The one with the masks.
Eyes Wide Shut is just, first of all, there's no swinging in the movie. There's a party where people are having kinky sex, there's group sex. But, that is in no way reflective of any type of swinging that I've ever seen.
Now I feel like I have to watch The Secretary so I can have that same reaction.
The only thing I think you can point to that movie and say it's reflective of swinging is the fact that almost every club has an Eyes Wide Shut night, because the glamorous lifestyle of the Eyes Wide Shut swinging party just looks fascinating to people. But before that movie, it was not that. but I've heard from kinky people who really are into the dom sub relationship that Secretary is actually a very deep, if sometimes flawed, portrayal of that. So, recommended.
Noted.
But no, Eyes Wide Shut. No.
I learned something very important now. Don't ever bring up Eyes Wide Shut to people who swing.
Because the Cooper got so offended by it.
I wasn't offended at all. I was just
you were just being domly and setting me straight.
Totally. So I'm surprised you let me get away with it.
Oh, this joke has to end.
Okay, I'm done if you are.
I was entertained. I'm amused.
I live to amuse you, Ginger.
I know.
Let's
I'm so glad
about
that
you do. Aftercare.
Oh, aftercare? Okay. Oh,
aftercare.
Makes me warm and fuzzy. Did you ask what is aftercare?
I want to talk about aftercare, so let's start with what is aftercare.
Aftercare is the care, usually physical and emotional, that you offer to somebody after you've had a scene. So after you've had an interaction of some sort, for me and my boy, that's our way to kind of bring our energies back and reconnect and just sit and decompress a little bit and come back to the world. That's our soft, like I said, our warm and fuzzy time. It involves a lot of me petting his head and scratching his back and covering him in a blanket. Mm, and if we're in a bed, it's a lot of cuddling and it's very nice. It's very woo.
Well, that does sound very nice. Well, I mean, and we have similar type things in the swing community. It's almost amongst our friends, there's always reclamation sex after swap.
Really?
which, and I say always, and I shouldn't, but because there isn't always, but it seems to be a thing amongst swingers, is to, okay, we just had this hot time with other people. Then we go home and we have reclamation sex, which is us reconnecting and reminding each other that we are the couple and they are beyond us. It's the fun time. And that's when I've heard aftercare explained to me for these scenes, it always felt a lot like that.
That's beautiful. So do you think that if there wasn't the reclamation sex afterwards, do you think that it could develop into, could that be the basis for issues if there was none of that?
Well, it kind of depends on the type of relationship, you know, it, like you, it depends. but because with a lot of people, they have these, I really hesitate to use the word crutches, but little things that make their swinging sex different from their marital sex. You know, their no-no areas, like I'm not going to have anal outside of our relationship, or if we do this, you're going to do this first, or and I think reclamation sex is one of those things. You can do what you need to do outside of this, but when we come back, we're coming back together. Was I answering a question there? I completely lost my
train. No, yeah, I was with you. Okay. I was trying to make the comparison and to what things are like in our lifestyle, our being mine and my partner specifically, and what it would be like if we didn't have our time, like our coming back together time. And that is just, it makes me sad to think about that. I wouldn't want that at all.
It's interesting, as I'm listening, I've been very pensive, because it's, although I see parallels there, I feel like, having experienced both, that there are some differences in that. I totally hear what you're saying about the reconnection sex and that being, you know, the time that the partners reconnect, that's like special. And I know for some people, it's not always sex, because they might not want to have sex or be able to have sex in the traditional sense after playing with other people or whatever. So different people, I've heard different people talk about it in different ways, and that it can be just cuddling, or, you know, for some people it is penetrative sex, and that's how they end their night, or that's how they wake up in the morning. It's interesting, though, when I think about dom sub play, or the SM play, the pain play, that I mean, there's a reconnection, but you're very connected during the playtime too. I mean, like, deeply connected. And not to say that that's, this may sound weird, but that's not too terribly different from having, well, the way Prof and I play is we're pretty much always together. And so we're connected, even if we're engaging with friends sexually, we're connected. So I feel like we're connected through the whole time, but certainly I hear what you're saying, Coop, about the reconnection after everyone's gone home or whatever the case may be. That's really beautiful and amazing, and I look forward to that. Interestingly, I feel like when we go through power exchange play, whatever that shape that takes for us, that I feel so deeply connected during the playtime. I feel like that I get to a point in our relationship where I crave the dynamic, because the dynamic is fun and sexy and is something that in and of itself I crave. But that connection, like, we only go to that place and that dynamic in our relationship when we're 100%, when we have been together a lot, when we are on the same page, when everything is just I hesitate to use the word perfect because it's never perfect, but we're just, when we feel really, really connected, that seems to be the time that I crave really edgy play because we're just so there. Like, you know what I mean? We're so there that that is the perfect time to take it to this really deep, intense connection where he just burrows into my brain and knows exactly what to do at exactly the right time. And then bringing it back around now to the idea of aftercare, it's very specific for me, certainly, and for us after that type of scene where you are coming down from almost a high. So you can have these physical manifestations of feeling really cold and feeling slightly disoriented. And so you literally have physical manifestations where aftercare, like you wouldn't just get up and go hop in your car and run out for takeout. You know, it takes some time to come back to the real world and look into each other's eyes and go, oh, hey, how are you?
Yeah, the headspace is definitely different, but you bring up another good point, which is there are physiological things that happen. And I'm not talking about just like chemically, but if I am flogging or paddling or doing anything where there's actual, like any sort of corporal thing where I'm physically warming up somebody's skin. Their skin is getting hot. And you see mm-hmm. this, if you ever watch a scene, something you'll watch the top put their hand over like the reddened areas just to see how warm it's getting. It's oftentimes a good way to figure out, you know, how much more you should or should not give. And after that, if you just leave a bottom without any care, they're going to be extremely uncomfortable. Blankets are incredibly important, and socks on the feet and all these other little things are important. And I don't know what got me going on this before, but catharsis. Because Ginger, you mentioned that you go to that place when you and Prof are really connected. Well, a lot of times in BDSM play, people go to that place because they need catharsis. Sure. Or they want catharsis. My boy may say, I've had a really shitty day. I'd really like it if you beat me. Would that work for you? And if that happens and we haven't been around each other all day, there's no like real deep, well, there's deep connection always with us, but you know what I mean? There's no, mm-hmm. Immediate connection in that circumstance, and that works for us, you know, and that connection doesn't necessarily have to be there. Same thing with if you're playing with somebody that's not like a lifestyle partner. Like I'm very lucky that I have a boy who's mine, and we play together all the time. That's what we do. But there are other people who more or less rotate play partners, and in that case, aftercare can look very different, especially depending on the different types of play that you do. Some people don't really want that like warm, fuzzy, cuddle me, whatever. It works for me and my boy, but sometimes people want to, hey, that was nice, I feel better. Yeah, it always throws me for a loop because I don't expect it, but it happens.
I wanted to ask about drinking and playing, because a lot of times people, especially in our community, will have a few drinks to loosen up to get your way to being okay with something alien, unusual, etc. And do you find that drinking and playing in the BDSM community, and I'm asking for a generalization again, it can cause issues because of impaired judgment from the drinking?
Ding, 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 ding. Yes, I refuse to drink and play. I don't know too many people that do drink and play. I'm sure it happens, but the dungeons that I frequent do not serve alcohol or allow alcohol or drugs. I wouldn't want to play with somebody who had been drinking or who had done drugs, not because I have a problem with drinking or drugs, but because I need to know that I'm dealing with somebody totally coherent. I mean, especially if you're doing play that requires deep, deep trust. I mean, somebody's turning over their flesh to you. I want to know that they're doing it with a sound mind.
I am very, very curious to hear, Miss Amy, what I'm thinking now about the idea of what our non-monogamous friends might be able to take away from, they may not want, you know, they might want to learn about BDSM. They might be curious, but they might want to use some of the toys that you might recommend for just fun play with partners, just really light play. What are your toys or implements of choice? And do you have any recommendations for toys that complete novice swinger poly folks who are new to that type of play might want to use?
Absolutely. So you have two very different questions. One, my preferences for toys, and two,
yes,
what true. somebody can grab around the house, a term that we refer to as pervertibles. So things that you already have.
I love pervertibles.
Wow, I like this.
It's great because there are things that you already have around. You don't need to go to a crazy, you know, BDSM sex toy store and spend $100 on a flogger. Like, there are things you have here. And I often use them in my scenes. Dollar stores are amazing for these things. My number one go-to pervertible, and this shows a little bit of the sadistic side of me, is clothespins. I really enjoy clothespins. My favorite thing to do with them. Nipples can be a little bit difficult with clothespins because some people's nipples are just extremely, extremely sensitive, and the pain becomes not enjoyable pain, but get these things the fuck off of my nipples pain. And so what I really like to do is called the human zipper, and it involves placing a string through the clothespins, through the middle of them. And so you put the string in there and then put the clothespin on the skin and then do that in a line down the body. And then when you pull it, and it doesn't have to be a fast, like, band-aid pull. It can be a sensual thing. You know, you can get a lot of anticipation out of when that next clothespin is come off, but then it's just, you pull the end and you have a human zipper of clothespin. So if you're with a partner who enjoys or might want to experiment with a little bit of the pain, the pleasure pain. Clothespins are good. And you can also use different ones because the wooden ones tend to be, they can be a little bit rough. But you can get like cheapy plastic ones at the dollar store, and they're great because they don't clamp as hard. Other pervertibles, things in the kitchen, such as wooden spoons. I have this metal thing. I don't even know what it is. It was bought for, it's a kitchen implement of some sort that I use as a paddle. It's basically just like a flat, I don't know. If it's
like the flipper thing. Bill Murray called that the Aunt Jemima treatment.
That might work.
The wooden pizza pie handle.
That'd be the big one, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like a whole pizza out there.
That's where you feel the wind of it coming before you actually feel it. Serious businessman.
Let me think. What else is around my house that I use? Well, of course, scarves and things like that that can be used for sensory deprivation are always good. Feathers and soft things are good for different playing with. Oh, saran wrap. Saran wrap is one of my favorites because you use it for what we call mummification, which is pretty much what it sounds like, but instead of using cloth or toilet paper or whatever people would use to pretend like they're mummies, you use saran wrap. I don't know. I don't pretend like I'm a mummy. But if you use saran wrap to wrap somebody up so they cannot move, and then turn a blow dryer on a very low heat setting, it heats the saran wrap, and it expands a little bit, and then as it cools, it gets tight.
Ooh, I'm taking notes.
Ah, yes.
Well, all you bondage folks can have a little fun with that one.
I love it. And it doesn't have to, you don't have to go extreme with like the whole body. I mean, you could just do the upper torso. I usually do saran wrap, plastic wrap, and then duct tape over it. But that's because I get ridiculous with my bondage sometimes.
Doesn't sound so ridiculous.
And if you do most of the body, then you can use scissors or even a razor or whatever to cut out certain parts so that you can play with certain body parts. And of course, ice cubes are good for sensation, either as a torture method or just for nice sensation on top of Saran Wrap or just on the body. These are things that I think are probably common in almost any community, not just BDSM. I get a lot of my toys out of like the camping section at like Walmart or wherever. It's funny because it's like every store I walk into, it's not like I go in there thinking, okay, I'm looking to buy rope today. I go in there and I see something and go, oh my God, I can use that. Home Depot is amazing for this. I could spend all day in Home Depot just walking up and down the grill cleaning aisle at Home Depot has all sorts of implements, earmuffs, guys for CBT, which is cock and ball torture. For like the scrapers that you use to clean grills, make amazing CBT toys.
Oh my.
I can imagine that. Okay.
I think you've steadily been converting Dylan this entire time, by the way.
No.
Judging by his fascination and I can hear him taking notes.
I totally don't have a notebook in front of me.
No, totally not.
I'm erasing my whole non-existent notebook page right now.
Text me later. Call me later. I'll give you the notes. No, you know, and these are wonderful things because you can walk into the Home Depot and pick them up, and you don't have to, like, if you have that taboo weirdness in the back of your head, you don't have to walk in and be like, oh my gosh, I am embarrassed about going into the store and asking for these things, because they're things you could be like, yeah, I'm cleaning my grill. What? You know, like, what else? Is that enough for pervertibles for now? Basic things?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so my favorites.
Amy, before we do that, why don't we take a quick break and then come back and talk about your favorite toys?
Perfect.
Okay. I hate to do this to you in the middle of that discussion, but Twinkset's got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Amy's favorite toys to play with, as well as giving you a little primer on if you're suddenly thinking this might be a good idea, like maybe I want to try this, like Dylan, I'm looking in your direction, how one would get started with this sort of thing. We'll be talking about that when we come back. Life on the Swing Set, the podcast.
Hello, listeners. You know, a lot of sex toys come across our desks here at Life on the Swing Set. Some of them are good, but many are forgettable. Then there are the products from close to you. These toys are musically named because music is the language of passion. They rise to the top, superior instruments of pleasure that you can't wait to play with again and again. Close to You's entire line of toys are the cream of the crop. Their vibrators and anal beads are elegant, soft, and most wonderfully waterproof. Pick up Close to You's Rhapsodia anal beads today at EdenFantasies.com.
Hey, Cooper, guess what?
What's that, Shira?
I just found the most amazingly sex-positive, eco-friendly, progressive, female-run sex shop.
Oh, really? This place sounds great. Who are these people, and how did they get the elusive Shira B. Cat stamp of approval?
They have the cutest name. They're called the Smitten Kitten. Their brick-and-mortar store is located in Minneapolis, and their online shop is at smittenkittenonline.com. They specialize in high-quality, non-toxic sex toys for people of all genders and sexual orientations. They have educational books and DVDs, and even ethically produced porn on demand.
Oh, Shira.
What?
Get with the times! Everybody knows about smittenkittenonline.com. In fact, Life on the Swing Set has partnered with Smitten Kitten to give all of our listeners a 10% discount when they buy items from their online store. All our listeners have to do is enter the code SWINGSET at checkout, and boom! Discount.
No way. Can I use it too? They have this super hot harness I got my eye on.
Absolutely. In fact, I invite you and all of our listeners to go to smittenkittenonline.com and use the product code SWINGSET. Not only will you get 10% off your purchase, but you'll also be supporting one of the most progressive and sex-positive businesses in the industry.
All right, Cooper, I'm on it. SmittenKittenOnline.com. Discount code SWINGSET.
You'll be glad you came.
Welcome back to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. I'm here tonight with Ginger, Dylan, and the lovely Miss Amy, and we are talking about BDSM, and she is about to tell us her favorite toys for beyond the pervertibles that she can find and in frightening aisles at the local Walmart.
They're not frightening. I feel like I'm probably in my honest telling you what my favorites are, I'm probably going to lose quite a few people, but that's okay. Tell you what works for me. I am a corporal punishment person, so I enjoy floggers and paddles, particularly, and props. Somebody is here.
That's okay, Dylan. I'm breathing heavy, too.
I don't think, honestly, Dylan has been this engaged in any conversation we've ever had on the Swing Set.
Oh, this makes me happy. I'm going to take this to bed with me tonight. So, yes, the corporal punishment basics, the floggers, the paddles, the props. I've recently really started liking rope for a number of reasons. One, because I enjoy bondage, and probably a better reason is that it can be very artistic and euphoric for me. It's not just sexy to be able to, like, the control aspect of tying somebody up to me, but it's also nice, almost in an artistic way, to be able to lose myself in what I'm doing with a rope. That's the kind of thing that requires, like, actually learning from somebody else, though. Although, I suppose you could probably just mess around with the rope and figure out what works. Or if you're a really good Boy Scout, you might already know some things that work really well. So ropes are my favorite, one of my favorites. I really like electrical play. Now, unfortunately, electrical play is not something that you're going to do with pervertibles around the house. In order for it to be safe, it's usually going to be a little bit pricey. So I have a violet wand set, which is an electricity tool that comes with a bunch of different attachments. It costs me lots and lots of money, but it was so worth it for me because I love it. What else do I really enjoy? Well, let's be honest, I really like strap-ons.
Yay for strap-ons! I love strap-ons. I feel like I have to work that into. I haven't worked that into episodes lately. I haven't been able to say how much I love strap-ons lately.
Well, tell us how much you love them.
Oh, it's okay. I got to watch you work it into someone else.
Yeah, very, very recently, I remember us talking about strap-ons, Ginger.
Yes, well.
Maybe not in the last two or three episodes.
Oh, well, you know, like I said, I try to work it into every episode. So I'm making up for lost time.
Excellent.
So you were saying, Amy, about your strap-on.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And I'll let you have you know that when I started with doing anal play with men, I started with my Fieldo that I had used with women before. I will not ever go back to using a Fieldo on a male ass. It is very, I don't know, it just doesn't work for me. An actual, like, harness strap-on, to me, it will just, it works so much better. You have so much more control, and it probably feels much better for the guy because there's not a lot of control with the Fieldo.
I will go on record as agreeing with that.
Yes. Yay. So it's not just me. I was like, you know, this can't possibly feel great if it's going all over the place like this. I feel like, you know, I'm goal-oriented. I want something where I want it. I don't want it everywhere else.
The Fieldo was a great thing that we had, and then we discovered the Nexus Maximus, which is the Nexus is, which is Vixen's equivalent of the Fieldo, but it's much floppier, so it demands a harness. You know, and a Fieldo used with a harness is far easier to wield. The Nexus Maximus is designed for a harness, still has the internal portion for the women, and it's a lot more control based. You know, it's easier to focus with. Wouldn't you agree, Ginger?
Yes, I would agree. That is a great combination. Absolutely.
So here's the other joy to having, to being a dominant woman and having a submissive or a slave of your own, is that if you have a very nifty one, he or she, mine happens to be he, can make you wonderful implements and wonderful tools. My boy has made me some of the most amazing floggers out of materials that you just can't buy. The metal, like those little ball bearings, which he's now come to pretty much hate, but I absolutely love. and one out of, I think it's clothesline. It's like a plastic white, I guess it's clothesline. I don't know. And then he put hot glue beads on the end of it. And so it kind of has that, it has a lot of sting already because it's plastic, but the ends of the flogger have like little hard beads, and it's amazing. Cuffs and collars are something that we haven't really talked about, but are a very, very huge part of the BDSM scene. But while we're talking while we're talking about them as toys, my boy and I almost, I can't think of a single time that we've had a scene without him in cuffs and his collar. The collar has a lot of meaning, and it's part of like our before play ritual, this putting the collar on, him kneeling, and we go through this almost ceremonious process of collaring him and putting the lock on. So going back to the toys, if I didn't have my collar, I'd say go to PetSmart and get a dog collar and use that, because there's so much meaning behind it for me. I consider that one of my toys because it's part of the power exchange for me. I'm big on, well, CBT, obviously. I've just started recently becoming really intrigued by needle play. So I've done a lot of the learning and haven't done so much of the doing, although that's coming soon. In fact, I think this weekend.
Ooh.
Yes. But I don't know that it's on one of my favorites. It's funny because as I'm thinking about the favorites, you know, I was mentioning negotiation last week and how, you know, it's so critical. And in these relationships, you negotiate what you like and what you don't like. And sometimes in a very like ridiculous spreadsheet, you know, how much do you like this? How much do you like that? I don't like this. And the joke in the community is that once you do your negotiation, you fill out this big long sheet, check it again in 6 months, and it's going to be totally different.
Yeah.
Because they change so much. So, but I think those are my staple toys. Those are the ones that pretty much never change for me.
Those sound so awesome. That sounds like so much fun. Yay. So
creating your own toy.
I have to say, given all of those yummy implements, how about giving us the generic safety disclaimer?
What do you mean, the generic safety disclaimer?
Well, just if we consider that some of the folks listening may have zero experience with sensation play or with impact play, or with bondage or with any of these things, I hear the things you're saying and I'm like, oh, I get it. I understand, like, you know, rope play is sexy, but for some people, without having had any kind of exposure, you know, lack of exposure, lack of information, but interest can add up to being some, you know, experiments that may go awry. And I'm just curious to know if you have any resources that you can just offhandedly recommend, or I'm thinking this may segue into the idea of if people are getting interested in getting started in the BDSM community. Obviously, it's a great thing to do is just meet someone who is already well-versed in the safety and well-versed in the how-tos and get to know them and have them teach you. But what if that isn't an option? What might they do?
Well, what you just triggered in me was, do you have a resource that you can offer to people? And my immediate response is, can I provide common sense? Like, is there some way to dole that out?
Right, right.
I think I'm painfully aware that that's not possible. so my recommendation, my blanket recommendation would be start small.
Ah.
start so small that you think that you're not even doing the BDSM thing. It's kind of like, I mean, anybody who's ever done anal play knows that you don't get it right the first time. Like, and you go slow and you use a lot of lube. It's the same thing with any BDSM tool or tactic or whatever. Start slow. The other thing is there are so many resources out there in the community that I understand that for some people don't want to go out and be part of the big scary world, but I assure you it's not that scary. And that is how you're going to learn. And that's how, not only like do this so you can learn, but you will get so much out of it if you just put yourself out there to learn. It's like a, like musicians, you know, if you're a violinist, you weren't born playing the violin. You have to practice it. And so the way to do that is to learn from somebody who already knows what they're doing. I get not everybody has that mentor, but there are books. One of my go-to introductory books to BDSM is one, I don't remember who wrote it. It's called, the Thorns and Roses book that I don't even have on my bookshelf because I've given it away so many times. Screw the roses, send me the thorns. It's an amazing book. It has a little bit outdated, but very helpful pictures. They're black and white, but they're good. It's very easy to read, and it's a good introductory book. Screw the Roses, Send Me the Thorns, I think is what it's called.
That is what it's called, and it's by Philip Miller and Molly Devon.
There we go. Thank you.
No problem.
So that's a great starting point if you want to read books. There are community organizations. If you are in San Francisco, well, if you're in San Francisco area, blessed.
Coming out of the woodwork.
But there's the Society of Janice in the San Francisco area, which is an educational type group. If you're in the Phoenix area, there's the Arizona Power Exchange. Or Google the communities. Do exist.
Would you say FetLife is a good place to get your feet wet?
I used to be very resistant to FetLife. Everybody was like, yeah, are you on Fet? And I refused to get on Fet for a very, very long time because I don't know what was wrong with me. I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. Everybody else is on Fet. I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon. And I absolutely love Fet. I reopened a new account. I started when I said, stop being an idiot. It is the best way for me to connect with people when I can't be face-to-face. Because there are groups on FetLife that you can go and learn, you know, just observe. You can just lurk in the groups and learn a lot, or you can actually choose to interact and email people. There are some websites that may work for some people that don't necessarily work for me. CollarMe.com is one of them. I have a profile on CollarMe. I don't know why I do. it doesn't work for me in that it's very very fantasy based. There's a lot of online interaction going there, but not a lot of physical interaction. So if that's what you want, if you want the online, let's role play via email, go to CollarMe. What else? I used to be on Alt. I haven't been on Alt in alt.com in a long time. I wouldn't say that that's necessarily a BDS. Strictly BDSM site, but there is some information on there. But I definitely think that regardless of the websites, the educational groups are the way to go. Go to a munch. This is a word that people are like, what the heck is a munch? A munch is an informal place where people get together in this vanilla, meaning your normal everyday clothes, as normal everyday people, and sit and talk. And communicate like people communicate without the whips and chains and floggers and paddles and everything else. It's a great way to get to know people.
So if I go to a munch, if I show up, is that me walking into a group saying, hey, I'm looking to play some point?
No.
Yeah. So I'm curious, like what can I expect if I'm going to walk into a munch? What are people going, if I'm a brand new newbie to the BDSM community and I walk into my very first munch, what might I expect?
Well, before we go there, I think it's important to know what you expect going into it, because if you can communicate that, then you're set. If you can walk into a munch and say, "Hi, I'm Ginger. I'm brand new to this. I don't really know what sort of kinky things I'm into or not into. I really just want to get to know people and learn about myself and learn about all these kinky things that you do." People are going to hug you and embrace you and say, "Okay, that's wonderful." And nobody's going to try and throw you in a dungeon.
Until later, maybe, when I ask them to, please, please.
Yes. If you walk in and say, "Hi, my name is Ginger. I'm new to this. And I really, really want somebody to beat the shit out of me this Saturday." You could probably find somebody who'd be willing to do it.
So, you know, in the general swinger community, it seems to be fairly prevalent that there are a lot of guys that like to be dominated and girls that like to do the dominating, at least from what I've seen. What do the percentages look like in general for the BDSM community, at least the one that you frequent?
And the one that I frequent.
Or that you're part of.
Sure. Well, there are two different ones, but I'm going to leave the San Francisco part out because that, as we've discussed, is just, it runs the gamut. It depends on which letters in the acronym you're dealing with. If you are dealing with a master-slave dynamic tends to be about, in my experience, I'm going to say about equal. People could attack me for that, but I'm going to say about equal. I believe, in my experience, that the dominant women, submissive men, tends to be higher, in my experience. I'm biased. I'm a dominant woman, and I have a submissive boy. It's just, maybe that's all I pick up. That's all my awareness has. The sadist, masochist, I would say, is also probably about even. However, when you get into the trans side, the transsexual side as a kink, it is almost always men choosing to liking to cross dress as women. So most service oriented slaves or submissives, so somebody that would come in to the house and do the service stuff, almost in my experience, predominantly men. And there are a whole bunch of theories about, you know, why this is, and of course the most dominant one, predominant one, is that, you know, men have this expectancy in society to have this dominant role, and so when they get out of that, they want to let go of that persona. I don't know whether that's true or not. You know, some men will say yeah, and some men will disagree. You know, it's different for everybody.
Well, I gotta admit, I've been loving hearing from you, because I think I'm a lot more interested in seeking out the BDSM community and at least trying some things. Yeah, it seems a lot less intimidating now, and maybe it still will be intimidating when I get there, but I feel a lot more encouraged to go and jump in and give it a try.
Yay. And, okay, so not to ruin this high that you're on, but I want to be realistic about this. You will talk to many people in the lifestyle who say that it's not easy to find the partners that they want, either the life partners that they want, you know, for the 24/7 type relationship, the play partners that they want. It does take some work to put yourself out there. It takes some work to figure out who you are and what you want. And it takes some work to be vulnerable and say, "I'm going to experiment with things," and then be honest with myself and other people about what works for me and what doesn't. And I'm going to be okay with saying I might overstep some boundaries because I don't understand all the protocols sometimes. That doesn't make me any less of a person or any less valuable. It means that, you know, I've got lots of learning to do, and we all do. So come on into our big, crazy, mean, devilish world.
mean and devilish.
No, it's not dumb.
Well, that's as good a place as any to leave it, Miss Amy. Thank you very much for joining us. And you sound like you have a new follower, so that's awesome.
Yay!
So as always, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/theswingset. Follow us on Twitter at swingsetlife. I believe the swing set is on FetLife, now that I think about it. I think we're swing set life on there too. So if you're here for the kink, say hi to us on FetLife as well. Email us contact@lifeontheswingset.com. Give us a call, 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. And again, with any questions, comments, criticisms, complaints, compliments, and I promise no one will pick up the phone, so feel free to just let it all go when you give us a call. I want to say very big thanks to Ginger and Dylan. And Amy, thank you again very much for joining us and really giving us a lot of information to think about and starting the discussion. Yes. With our friends here.
Thank you so, so, so much. It was really fantastic.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you very much for having me. It's totally my pleasure, and I don't say that generically. I really do enjoy getting this information out to people because we're not scary.
We try to send that message out every day. We're not scary. Some of the ideas might be scary, but in general, we are not scary. So we're on the same page. There's definitely a kinship between the two communities that call themselves Lifestyle. Everybody else out there, thank you as always for listening. Thank you for swinging by.
Have a good night.
Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. Do you enjoy Life on the Swing Set? Well, hey, why don't you come on over to iTunes and write us a little review? It doesn't have to be long. It makes all the difference in getting us seen by more people. And by seen, I mean heard, because we're a podcast. So if you come on over and give us a good review, we'll be very, very happy you did. And when we get happy, we tend to get naughty. So rate Life on the Swing Set today.